The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Heumann for our weekly edition of Vox Screen Stocks. You're right, John.
Not too bad. How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm good. And in the week, I had almost a screening champion on, a former colleague of yours, which is what he was known for at the Investors Chronicle, wasn't it? Screeners, pretty much. Was Algie, wasn't it? Algie Hall.
Yeah, Algie Hall. Yeah, good friend of mine. He's just released a book, which I think you spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of shedding the secret, shedding the light, you know, giving his secrets out on his approach to stock screenings, which have been very, very effective over the years.
Yeah.
He used to run dozens of them for the Investors Chronicle, but this book focuses on, I think it's four of the most effective ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the reason why we do this is because it is useful having a screener. Like, so you can't, look at 3,000 listed companies. It takes you ages. Even if you research one, a day, it takes you about 10 years to get through them all. So it's always worth trying to cut out the dross or the ones not performing in some way. So this is Algie-inspired screener this week, is it? What's it about?
Yeah, so I've gone to chapter 18 of his book, which is Screening for Contrarian Value. So we're looking for companies that perhaps have fallen a little bit out of favour. And the market has perhaps, written them off or overreacted to potentially, a slowdown in trading or a fall in profits. But the idea is that potentially creates opportunities. So we potentially find in the rubble of these companies that have fallen out of favour, some stocks that have the capacity to recover again. And the other important aspect of this stock is how we then approach valuation. So, as Algie explains in this chapter, if you look at things like P ratios, they can make recovery situations look very, very expensive at a headline level. So this is actually looking more at sales, and the valuation metric he prefers to use here is EV to sales, because, as he points out, sales are the ultimate source of profits.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, I was looking through there, because I didn't have much time there. Looking through them, I recognised a few names, and I thought, okay, so we're looking a bit pricey there. But, the growth is good on them, and so I didn't know what to look for. In fact, what are you going for, John? You go for it first.
Well, I'm going for something that's quite topical, actually. And the company I'm going to pick is Water Intelligence. And so what Water Intelligence does, it's basically managing water infrastructure, and a big part of its business is leak detection and prevention. It works mainly in the US, so it's pretty much universal across the US, the only national network doing this thing. Works with insurance companies, house builders, those sort of partners. It's got another division called IntelliDitch, which manages things like stormwater runoff, agricultural runoff. And the reason I say it's topical is that, I'm sure everybody will have been watching with horror the story of sewage in the UK rivers and seas.
Yeah.
This is a big, important topic. Water is a precious resource, we can't have sort of industrial processes spoiling it, and we simply don't want to waste it. Certainly in certain parts of the US, water is in massively short supply. So this is it's in the sweet spot of infrastructure trends, but also environmental trends. So this is a company that's in the sort of, it has the green London Stock Exchange mark. It's a proper green technology company.
Yeah. Do you know what? I covered that this morning on the, five things you need to know, and there were like these water bosses apologising profusely about sewage leaks into rivers and streams. And there was 825 a day. I thought, what? A day? Because you only ever see the sort of biggest ones once or twice a year on the news. And I think, they're leaking 825 a day. It's a wonder we're not all just swimming in toxic goo. It's just unbelievable. But
if you go swimming in the rivers of Suffolk, there's actually a river here that's been designated as a wild swimming river. And our local MP happens to be the Environment Secretary, Therese Coffey. And as you can imagine, the knives are out around here. In fact, there's a place near this swimming river called Martlesham Creek, and just check it out on the internet. It's been renamed by some wag. They've put up a new sign. I can't say it. It's rude.
Okay. Yeah. No, the thing is, they apologised and they said they are going to invest $10 billion, I think it was, in sorting out with new pipes and new technology to stop the sewage leaks. But of course, where's that $10 billion coming from?
Well, probably the bill payers, But I mean, in all seriousness, this is a great business. It's actually, as I say, the majority of its work is over in the US. But it does have some sort of municipal style activity going on in the UK with companies like Thames Water. So you can imagine there's going to be a nice pipeline, excuse the pun, of business coming through there. How is this translating into the numbers, which I guess is the most important thing. And we've got some serious growth coming through. Really, really quite profitable. Margins have been suppressed. It hasn't escaped the sort of inflationary crisis. We've seen a slowdown in house building in the US, for example, but they have the capacity to bounce back. And the rating is not eye-watering. Two times EV to sales of two times. So, yeah, it's a nice business, a really nice business in a good little spot in the market.
Yeah. Well, I went to the list, and I almost time, and I thought, what do I recognise here? And I put, and essentially, I use my sort of spreadsheets to look at stuff all the time. So if I put one through the spreadsheet that I quite like the look of, I start from there. And then I thought, okay, what do I know about this company? Nothing, really. But I looked at, first of all, what was it? Where is it? Yeah. Sys Group.
Yeah, I must admit, I don't know that one.
No, neither do I. But it's worth a little look, I think, because they're doing okay. But in the end, I didn't really know much about it. I have run the figures of Gresham Technologies through my spreadsheet. And again, even if you read what they do, because I go figures first and then look at what they do. So they're the leading software and services company that specializes in providing real-time solutions for data integrity and control, banking integration, payments, and cash management. So that's what they do. But if you look at their figures, last year's results was 31st December, and in fact, even go back to the interims. But the revenue growth is very good. With interims 55% up for the full year, 32%. Operating profit growth up 530%. Net profit growth up 385%. Be thinking, okay, how does that translate? So essentially, so almost close to 10 million in operating cash flow. Do they have any debt? No debt, which is always very good. They are a market cap of about 125 million. They got cash of about 6 million. So they are profitable. And if you look at a PE, in fact, don't look at the PE, because it'll scare you. Like I said, it's showing around about 40, I think, but it's coming down. But because it's growing very quickly. But price of sales is about 2.5. EV EBITDA is about 13. So it's not too bad on that side of it. But it's just worth a look. And what I quite like is that they've rallied strongly. Like I said, they've come. A lot of these companies have come back a little bit, and so it's done very well. If you look at where it's come from, but it's a heck of a chart. It's like a roller coaster. But back in 2018, it was down at 63p, and it's gone up and down, and now it's at 150. But it did previously hit the sort of double top resistance of 180, but right here on the chart, it's seeming like around 140 seems to be good support. So, because it's hard, like you say, when you look at a PE and it's typically very high, you think, okay, it's growing, so maybe it'll grow into that. But where's a good time to buy? And I thought sometimes it's good to refer to a chart and see where there's major support, and it has sort of tested that level of 140 a few times. And even in a range, it's the bottom end of that range, But growth looks very good, and so it seems to be. But do you know what? Everything now in my mind is almost skewed towards a thought towards AI. They're saying, how will this company be affected AI? Will they benefit? And I suppose anyone in data who has a lot of data could benefit from it as long as they grasp that AI sector. So there's always that, because we know, you know, there's many sectors, many industries can be sort of revolutionised by AI. And it's always, I don't know what you think, but do you think now, is your in the background, if you're looking at a company, thinking, can this be affected by AI? Because I do now. It's in the back of my head, you know?
I mean, I sort of take a fairly sanguine view of this. You know, AI is transformational. We saw the founder of ChatGPT, you know, testifying before Congress in the US the other day. And it's a potentially dangerous technology if it's not used in the right way, and it's potentially very disruptive. But I think back to I did a master's in history of science, technology, and medicine a few years back. And as part of that, I looked at the semiconductor industry and what happened there and the history of that. And there was a documentary in the 1970s, I think it was Horizon in the UK. It was called Now the Chips Are Down. And basically, at that point, you know, the rise of semiconductors and computing, again, it sort of threatened the way the world had operated for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And people at that time, there were all these catastrophic predictions of job losses and mass unemployment, you know, robots taking over. Computing did change the way many businesses work. And, you know, many jobs were lost, many sort of traditional jobs, but you know, industries and economies sort of, they evolve as technology evolves. So I'm fairly sanguine. I actually think this potentially frees the world up to think more creatively and let AI do the things that are fairly, you know, sort of humdrum, as it were. I think all companies need to have an AI strategy, but it doesn't scare me in the way that, you know, some talk has been quite, you know, what would you call it? You know, it's been quite sort of inflammatory.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know, I listened to a very good podcast the other day. In fact, and it was a guy written books on AI, and it's very impressive, actually, because he was saying that if you look at Invest Like the Best, is by a guy called Patrick O'Shaughnessy, but there's a guy in there. I'm playing it. But and he was saying, if you think of AI, it will displace a lot of work, but it'll improve it. You know, everyone's looking at the downside of losing work, but you have to understand it improves productivity, so it'll help a lot of people. And he said a good example is, if you go back to farming, and people are worried about the industrialization or the computerization of farming. Now, is there less people working in farming? Yes, there is, but it evolves slowly over time. Are we getting better or more productive in the world of farming? Yes, we are. So, you know, it's getting better, and there's less people working there, but those people go elsewhere. They get trained elsewhere, do something else. It's not like it all drops off a cliff. It's slow evolution, isn't it, of these sectors, you know?
But, so, I mean, in the case of AI, you know, the progress we've seen, you know, in the last couple of years has been rapid. You know, you know, think back to 2022. I mean, you know, probably very few people had even heard of ChatGPT.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you know, here we are today with a technology that has, you know, already permeated many, many aspects of business. So I don't think we should dismiss these concerns out of hand, because the pace of change is quickening with this. I agree. You know, this is how economies evolve. And this is just another technology to be understood and employed to, as you say, improve productivity.
Yeah, yeah. What is worrying about that is the pace of change. When you're referring to technology that can learn, that could be exponential, couldn't it? I mean, like I said, you know, previously, like, it does take years for something to come in. And in fact, AI has been around for years, machine learning. But you realise the pace of change can be very quick, because it's learning very quickly from itself, and the more data it has, the faster it learns. And so you get the end of humanity kinds of thoughts, where it'll learn faster than us and overtake us, you know, at one point. But apparently people are saying that's many years off, but who knows?
Well, maybe, but you know, there are very, very serious discussions taking place about how this technology is regulated. So it's not, you know, it's not a risk that should be dismissed, but... Yeah. But it is, as I say, I think AI is a good thing. I think it's going to change the way we work for the better. And, you know, you think of all sorts of industries where it can be applied. You know, think about sort of, you know, leak detection, for example, the amount of, you know, data that's involved in running, say, a water network. You know, AI will no doubt be implemented in that, you know, predictive qualities that it may offer. To essentially make everything better.
In fact, I don't know if there's a way of doing it, John, but I suppose not, because it's on figures. Most screens are on figures, aren't they, and are on the quality. But is there a way of maybe looking at, you know, a couple of handful or 10 stocks that have AI, you know, small microcap stocks, and we can look at them and say, you know, because I know one or two in AIM listed that are quite interesting, they've got AI, but you don't know what level of sophistication the AI is at, you know, because everyone's starting to mention the AI word now and the words. But it'd be quite good to maybe look over a couple of stocks, you know, that have AI in them as a subscriber.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I think that sounds like a very good plan. Not sure how we do the screening. As you say, it's qualitative, but definitely a discussion worth having, because, yeah, this is everywhere. And as you rightly say, you know, companies that have not considered AI and their AI strategy, you probably want to be a bit careful of.
Marvellous. Cheers for that, John. Speak next week, fella.
Good speaking to you, Justin. Speak soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.